Welcome to episode 43 of Behaviorally Speaking, a podcast featuring board-certified behavior analysts Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi. On this episode, they talk about well-known skills like organization, time management, focus, and more. These skills all fall under the umbrella of the not-so-well-known name, executive functions. And now, here are your hosts, Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi.
Hello and welcome to our 43rd episode of Behaviorally Speaking. I'm one of your hosts, Angela Nelson, board-certified behavior analyst and mother of two.
And I'm Kristen Bondi, also a board-certified behavior analyst and mother of three. Hello, Angie.
Hello. How goes it?
Oh, it's good. We are filming this in December, so that means that I'm attempting to prepare for the holidays.
Yep.
And like right before we hosted this, my sister sent me these really cute pictures that she ordered of like my kids and her daughter, like all together for the grandparents. Aww. And it was like all these great things. I was like, oh yeah, I'm a little behind,
in Christmas shopping.
which is really highly appropriate for today's topic. But I was just thinking about that. I was like, every year I tell myself, and I don't know, you strike me as someone who shops in like March, but
I mean, but, I'm not going to lie. I am done with my Christmas shopping.
I knew it, man. So every year I tell myself, it's usually like October or even August, right? I'm like, okay, this is the year. This is the year that I'm going to be in November and I'm going to go, I feel good. I did it. I got it all done. And then here we are, 2 weeks, almost 10 days out,
and I'm not done.
Not even close.
I mean, Amazon is your friend, right?
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. I had a whole bunch come one day, and it was like all together because I just did like one big purchase. And my husband was like, boy, things have changed, huh? He's like, you can just get anything off the internet sent right to
know.
You.
I know. But I feel like there is a tipping point, right? Because when you look at the delivery date, sometimes it says might arrive before Christmas, you know? And so, there is a point where, you know, people cut it close.
Uh-huh. But it's going to be me.
Yeah, it is very apropos for today's topic. Oh my gosh, we didn't even plan this. We didn't plan this. This just happened.
It's true. It's life. Just life.
So let's get into it. I think it probably goes without saying, this is a topic that is both near and dear to my heart and yours. We love this topic. We always talk about it. It's part of our life and part of our work. So today we are going to be talking about the ins and outs of executive functioning. So as our regular listeners know, we have talked about this topic more deeply and kind of gone off in specific strands and really, I think, uncovered, you know, kind of to the depths of certain aspects of executive functioning. Mm-hmm. We're going to, so, you know, for example, we've had how to get organized or let's get organized. Let's pay attention. We right. did one on flexibility and impulse control. So we've done several of them on a more deep level, but we realized that, gosh, every day we talk about executive functioning, but it kind of dawned on us that we didn't have more of a high level, just what is executive functioning and what are the different components of it. So we're going to do more of an educational piece today, not going to be so much diving into solutions, but really kind of like, what is it? And we're excited to dive into this one today.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it could be so helpful if, you know, many of you listeners who are like, I don't exactly know what that is. Like Angie said, educational. But then also understanding if there are areas of strength and challenge for your kids. I feel like it's always, this might be a great way to do that. So,
And for you too, right? Like, right? Do you have complementary executive functioning skills or not?
Yeah, exactly.
To your child.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. I mean, I think we think of like, all of the, what is it? The personality tests that you can do, right? And people like really want to take a deep dive into themselves, but it's like, this is an area that you could also explore and it could be so helpful for everyone. So, okay, well, we're going to start out just by talking a little bit about what executive function is, because I think it could be confusing for some people. So essentially, it's the executive function and self-regulation skills are the mental processes that enable us to plan, focus, pay attention, remember things, and then, of course, maybe juggle multiple tasks. So it's a lot of skills that fall under this big category.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you're going to dive into where those skills come from and kind of the brain and stuff like that in a minute, but I think it is important to just kind of give that blanket definition, right? Because it's kind of a misnomer, the name executive functioning, it's kind of a funny term, right? Because a lot of people think it has to do with the workplace, right? An executive or, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of skills do you have for strategic planning or budgeting? Right. And I mean, there's definitely overlap for sure. But yeah, we just want to make sure that it's clear that it can apply to kids too. It's basically just all those skills to kind of get stuff done and get organized. So yeah, just mm-hmm. wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I think sometimes people will say like it's the CEO of your brain, right?
Yeah.
So like it's mm-hmm. and we'll dive into that. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of closely related, but you're absolutely right that people will say like, well, my child doesn't need executive functioning skills. They don't have a job, right? And then there we are. That's the first point of confusion. So
yeah,
I'm glad you called that out. Yeah. Okay. So when Angie and I were looking at this, I know when we were looking at this, we were saying, boy, everybody kind of looks at it a little bit different in terms of what skills they feel are the top five, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's going to look a little bit different. But some of the basic skills and ones that we've done a lot of our episodes on are going to be things like paying attention. So that's attention and focus, of course, organization and planning. So prioritizing tasks, very important. Starting tasks potentially and then staying focused on them is always pretty tricky. Managing emotions, that's definitely something that fits into this category of executive function. And then, of course, keeping track of things, right? Keeping track of what you're doing, keeping track of your belongings. So all of those are going to fall under executive function. And something else that I want to point out, so two more things I'll point out here. Another thing I want to point out is we also see in the research, a lot of experts will say, well, yes, there's executive function, right? And then we have these big umbrella topics that fit under executive function. And there's three main ones. So it's going to be working memory. And essentially, it's just as it sounds, right? So it's the ability to retain and then recall information. So you're going to store the information and then you can use it when you need it. And then we have cognitive flexibility. And this is what we hear sometimes is flexible thinking. And mm-hmm. really, this is just the ability to think about things in a different way, right? So there's more than one way of doing things. And there's more than one way of more than one idea is good, right? So that's definitely one that's important. And then finally, the third umbrella we hear about often is inhibitory control. And so this is sometimes called self-control. So yeah, so it's the ability to ignore distractions and resist temptation. So certainly can be a really, really crucial skill for everybody, where no matter where they are, right? So the home, workplace, school, and in social situations, we're going to see that these three main buckets of skills are going to be really important.
Mm-hmm. And then so it sounds like what you're saying is that paying attention, organizing, managing emotions, all that stuff, those kind of fit in one of those three buckets, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. So if you kind of looked at it like a hierarchy, you have executive functioning on the top, right? And then you have those three umbrella, those three buckets, if you will. And then all the skills that we'll talk about today are going to fit into those, right? Mm-hmm. So they're kind of like, they go into those big, big categories.
Got it.
And then one more thing before we get into, you know, taking a little bit of a deeper dive, we got to spend a little time on neuroscience. And just to give you just a little bit more of an understanding of how the brain works, right? So, and I had mentioned like the CEO of the brain, right? So the part of the brain that controls executive functioning skills is called the prefrontal cortex. And so this falls within the frontal lobe. And I always like to tell parents that this is actually the last part of the brain to develop. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing develops from the back, bottom, all the way to the top, to the front. And so it's the last thing to develop. And so sometimes, and a lot of the research will tell you, well, kids don't actually have the skills associated with executive functioning. They don't have those fully developed until they're 25.
Yeah, I know. When I read that, I was shocked. I mean, you can kind of make sense, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You think about some things you hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things you hear about like 17, 18, 19. You're like, shouldn't you know by now? And it's like, well, But, so yeah, cut them some slack a little bit. So
yeah.
And then one other thing I wanted to mention that we see a lot in the research that people that are diagnosed with ADHD, they have noticeable differences in this part of their brain, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why we see more distractibility, forgetfulness, impulsivity, poor planning, and sometimes hyperactivity. And we'll see that in both children and adults, but it is due to the differences in parts of their brain.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a good segue to when we think about executive functioning, some of these skills start to develop in infancy, right? And in early childhood, some a little bit later than others. And then to your point, they're still kind of developing until early adulthood. But, you know, there are a lot of things we've kind of gone into this in other podcasts too, being able to model good executive functioning, being able to kind of coach your child. One of our favorite books that we'll talk a little bit about later too, but the Smart But Scattered series, they talk about kind of lending your frontal lobe to your kids, you know, and kind of helping them build that skill set is going to be really important. But, you know, there are situations where challenges do arise, and maybe it's outside of the scope of kind of traditional developmental milestones. And so it is important to, just as a little side note, to mention, to kind of look out for those things, right? So if your child is developing at a different rate than maybe their peers, or they just seem so much more distractible, or they keep forgetting their homework, or, you know, it's impacting their school life or their social life, that's when you want to maybe start taking that to the doctor, or reaching out to other professionals and saying, gosh, you know, we may have an issue here. You know, you touched on ADHD before. And I think it's important to mention that not everybody that has challenges with executive functioning has ADHD, but it's safe to say that the majority of people diagnosed with ADHD struggle in this area, at least in a couple of these buckets of executive function. So, yeah, just know that, you know, have some patience and understand that it takes a while, a long time for these skills to develop. But if it seems outside the realm of what's developmentally appropriate, it's good to chat with your doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good call out. And I like the way you phrased it, right? Like, everyone who has challenges with executive functioning doesn't necessarily have a formal diagnosis of ADHD, right? But there are some challenges. And I think something, and a lot of times parents will say, like, well, how do I know, right? Like, how do I know if I do need to get, you know, some sort of assessment done? And something that has stuck with me that I learned a while back is someone had said, ADHD is not about knowing what to do, right? It's about doing what you know. And so I feel like that's really a powerful message.
Yeah.
And so I think if you're teaching your kids, you know, you go back and you listen to all of our episodes on the, you know, the topics that we've talked about, and you're doing all of those things and you're saying, they have all the tools. We've gone through it. We can role play it. But
they're smart kids.
Yes. But for some reason, they're just not doing it. Well, then potentially maybe we need to talk to our doctor. So, you know, I feel like that's always a good way to kind of look at it.
Yeah, I think you're calling out what I'm kind of teasing out of that is, if it's not a skill deficit, right? Like, if they have the skills, you've taught them, they know how to do it, they can demonstrate it in certain environments, but, you know, in general, they're not. Yeah, that's when you know that maybe something else is going on.
Okay, so let's go through just some of the skills that I mentioned earlier, and we're going to talk a little bit about those just so you get a better understanding of what they are. So, no surprise, I'm going to start with organization. I always start with this one, and every single topic or every presentation I do or every conversation with parents, I always say, let's just start with organization. Let's see where we are. And so essentially, it makes sense, right? Organization is the way that we organize our environment, our thoughts, our belongings. And of course, all the skills that we're going to talk about are essential to development and learning. But sometimes I feel that organization is just more crucial. And I think the reason for that is because when you're organized and you've got things in their proper place, maybe you're more likely to be able to manage your time and then stay focused. So I tend to start there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. It sounds like it's not just, it's internal and external, mm-hmm. what you're saying. Oh, it's yes. not just organizing your stuff, but it's also organizing your thoughts too.
Oh, totally. And one of the big things about this, I'll say to parents is, you know, sometimes kids will look really organized on the outside, right? Like they might, their backpack might be in order, their, you know, the things might be in the right place, but they have a really hard time writing an essay, for example, or mm-hmm. just telling a story in a logical way. It's like, wait, hold on. Whoa, wait, you went there, and then, whoa, you bounced back here. So I feel like if that's the case, like that's trouble with organization, but it doesn't present itself in the way that like their backpack is a disaster, yeah. right? Like that's screaming at you. My right. child is not organized. But the other one, it's like, well, I don't know. And so it's a little bit more hidden. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. So either way, I think kids who have trouble with organization, we're obviously going to see this impact them in a variety of places and with certain tasks. They're probably going to misplace things a little bit more. And then therefore, you know, if they're not putting them back in the right place, they're going to have a hard time locating those things. So that can cause some challenges. They might have trouble maybe creating routines or even sticking to those routines because, you know, they might be like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, keep all of my papers in this way. And then a couple days later, they're not like that at all. So, yeah. you know, a sidebar, I actually had a client like this, and this also came up in one of our clinical meetings. But I was talking to a parent and they were saying that, you know, we went through the room and we cleaned it. We cleaned the whole room together and we spent so much time cleaning the room. And then 2 days later, it was an absolute disaster again.
yeah.
And they're like, I really thought that I was like showing them, here's how you clean your room. And then it turns out that there was just not a good organizational system. So this is something I try to do with my kids all the time. So I try to say, okay, there is a place for everything, right? So all of your, you know, darts go in this bin and all of your Legos go in this bin, right?
Like, I like how you chose darts of all things.
There are Nerf darts all over my house.
Everywhere.
Oh, in fact, man. There's probably one within my eyesight if I were to look around right now. You're everywhere. So yeah, just, you know, coming up with ways to like create organizational systems, I think will be huge.
Yeah.
And then finally on this, I think, and I alluded to it a little bit earlier, but I think sometimes people think they're really organized, right? And they're not noticing where those deficits are. And an example that might resonate with an adult, right? Like in the workplace might be,
yeah,
if you try to locate something on your computer and you're like, oh no, like the search feature is not working. I have no idea where that's stored, or everything is stored on my desktop only, right? And it's just like a disaster. But this person might think, well, I'm pretty organized. You know, like I've got some folders on my desktop. I've got a system, right? But like, is that system working for you? I think that's the big thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the crux of it. Yeah, I when you're talking about the workplace, I also think of someone's desk, you know, might be clean, but then let's say they're having a conversation or giving a presentation and they are bouncing all over the place and it's hard to follow them. And I don't know, my first knee-jerk reaction is to be like, am I tired? Why am I not following this person? But that, you know, could also be a symptom of poor organization. They're not able to organize their thoughts in kind of a coherent way.
So
that's important. Definitely.
Yeah. And one other thing I will say, I think I said this earlier, but I hear a lot from parents that when kids get older, so now we're talking like teens and even like preparing for college, like writing an essay, that's even one of the times where parents are like, you know, I really didn't catch it until now, until we're having to like really put things down on paper. And my child's really struggling with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having a hard time holding back from giving strategies. Are you? I'm like, he's a graphic organizer.
This is really difficult. So
get out positive reinforcement. Motivation. Look at the motivation.
Impulse control, right?
Can't control it. Yes, I'm singing in my hands. No, today is all about just education around informational session. Yes. Okay. All right. So that is organization. Good stuff. Super, super important. The next one that we'll dive. Well, actually, are you? Is that good? Did you wrap up everything?
Oh,
you
yeah, no,
for
that's
that one?
Good.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So going into the next one, time management. So what is the kind of loose definition of this? Essentially, this is our ability to be able to do a couple things. So estimate the time that is allotted to you or available to you to complete something you need to do. It's also your ability to decide how you spend your time. So this is something that I know parents get frustrated about, like, oh, you're not being efficient with your time or wasting time, right? It's our ability to be able to kind of operate, if you will, within the allotted time that you have. And this is one that I get frustrated about with certain individuals in my home around having a sense of time urgency, right? Like, we need to go to school in 10 minutes and you're still in your PJs. What's going on? So, so there's definitely a variety of different components to having good time management. If you have teenagers, this is something that in the Smart But Scattered teenager edition book that we love so much, one of the things that the authors talk about is common issues. I would say this is not just with teenagers, but it could transcend other age groups too. But underestimating how long it takes to do a task, especially if it's non-preferred, that's a big challenge for a lot of people. And then also overestimating how much time they think that they have to complete a task. So we see
total
this with kids.
There.
It is. It's a total mismatch. It's some underestimating and overestimating. Kristen, you and I know because we do executive functioning coaching and neurodiversity consultations. This is a really, really common thing that comes up quite a bit is people recognize it too. Like I run out of time. I'm losing all track of time. I just didn't allot enough time. And you came up with a good, oh gosh, there I'm doing it again. I'm going into solution mode. But I have to just say this.
Just say it. Go ahead.
Say it. The time detective strategy, right? Like being able to kind of, I don't know, you tell it.
Yeah.
You tell it best.
Well, I think that it's the first step here is to help your child appropriately estimate how long things take. And so the best way to do that is a little mini assessment, right? So you write down a few things and you say, how long do you think that's going to take you? And you'd be so surprised sometimes by kids. They're like, oh, it's going to take me 5 minutes. You're like, 5 minutes to do 60 math problems. Or, you know, it could be like something so outrageous. And then it's like, okay, well, let's write that down and let's do it. Let's see how long it takes. And it's interesting to see the discrepancies, but I think it goes to the two things you're saying, right? You can see, is my child actually just underestimating how long things take, or do they, are they overestimating in some way? Underestimating or overestimating? I think that's, it's a good way to find that out.
Yeah, definitely. And then the sense of urgency, I think, is important too. I think for all of these, this is kind of a random place to make this conclusion, but I'll just state it here. And then maybe again at the end if my working memory is intact. But
I like what you did there.
I think it's important to kind of assess, right? Like when you look at all these different skills, assess where the challenges are. That's a good first step, right? And then figure out what the barriers are. Is it a skill issue? Do you need to model it? Do you need to teach it more explicitly, right? And kind of help coach your kids along. So so that time detective or just kind of assessing, are they overestimating? Are they underestimating? You wouldn't believe how many parents. I just talked to someone actually the other day. They have a toddler and they were saying, well, I tell him he's got 10 minutes to do this or I'm going to be on the phone for 10 minutes. And I had to explain, a toddler does not have a concept of how long 10 minutes feels, right? So when we're talking about time management, understanding that there's a developmental process and we can't expect our a 3-year-old to really have good time management skills. So to your earlier point, that's why it takes so long for a lot of these to fully develop. So we do need to educate ourselves, generally speaking, around what's developmentally appropriate when, we have some of these expectations.
I kind of was thinking, I've heard parents say before, like, it's going to take one TV show, right?
Yeah. You're like, there you go. That's a good idea, though.
Yeah. Like one show, that's how long we're going to be in the car ride for, right? Like, not that they're watching a show in the car, but like they understand what that feels like. So Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that one can be so important.
Well, let's keep it moving. So next we'll talk a little bit about planning and prioritizing. So this, you know, these can be, sometimes they can go hand in hand, but I'm going to separate them out for you. So planning is, it's essentially the ability to think about all the tasks that are required in order to achieve a goal, right? So it could be a goal, it could be a project. And so we're taking all those things and we're just creating a plan. And then prioritizing, though, a little bit different. So it's going to be the ability to know that you are completing the right tasks in the right way in order to get all that work accomplished. And so I feel like it's, I don't know. I mean, they're both kind of tricky. And really, really important. And I think, just as you had said before, Angie, I think it's important to see where your kids are at with these. Like, how well can they plan? Maybe they can really, really, they can plan really well, but they can't execute it, right? So like, they can come up with this grand plan, but then execution is where they fail. Or maybe they are able to set a really, really big goal, but they just can't break that down into a plan. So, you know, I think it's about trying to figure out where your child is here with these, but both two really crucial skills.
Yeah, that's important. Especially, this is an important skill to develop in the kid years, right? Because as they get older and then they start having longer term projects that might take a whole semester, you can't wait until the last night to plan that out. You got to kind of break it into chunks. And I mean, this transcends into the workplace, right? If you were never taught how to plan and prioritize, you're going to have probably a tricky time when you're, you know, when you're an adult and you're trying to work on a project and you can't triage, you know, how to kind of prioritize like emergency situations versus like, I can do it next week. So yeah, really important one.
Yeah, there's a really good, I think maybe you shared this with me. This is totally coming in my mind, so I'm gonna mess up the words. But you remember there was this TED Talk that I think you had sent to me about somebody that works as an ER doctor or nurse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really great. So you're just going to have to look it up, something about, you know.
You're going to have to try to search what TED we're talking
Talk.
About.
Yeah, TED Talk ER nurse talks about how everything is on fire, right? Or everything's a fire. But I really liked the way that she broke it down, because I think for many people, and I will say many people with ADHD have expressed to me, everything's a fire, right? Everything is high priority. So how do you expect me to prioritize my to-do list when everything is everything's like a priority, right? So, but it's about how do we figure out, and I think this is super applicable to kids, right? Particularly kids who feel, maybe as you had mentioned, like older kids, as they get really stressed and they're feeling like, oh, I've got all these things that I have to do and everything feels like a priority. And so I think it's so crucial to start teaching our kids and our teens how to understand what really is high priority, maybe middle priority and like low priority, right? I feel like that's like one of the best things to do.
Absolutely. And I found it.
Ooh, yay.
Because I can't just,
we can't say it without just, like, saying it.
It's Dr. Daria Long.
Hey, all right.
Oh, yeah. An ER doctor on triaging your crazy busy life.
Oh, yeah.
TED Talk. Yeah. There you
Perfect.
Go. You're welcome.
You go. Look at those skills. Get those search skills.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay. Well, so moving on to another really important one, attention and focus. So, I mean, gosh, they're all so important, but I feel like this one pops up quite a bit in the school age years. Even in the adults that we work with too. So attention and focus, definitely this comes into play with being able to not only approach tasks, but also kind of execute the tasks and go to completion with those tasks as well. So the definition really is our ability to stay on task in order to get it done, despite a couple other environmental factors, right? Internal and external. So it might be distractions. It could also be fatigue or just being tired or boredom. That's another really important one too, right? I don't want to do this. I am not intrinsically motivated to do this. So it's easier to kind of get pulled away. So this might be that your child is, or this might look like your child having a bunch of half-done projects or half-completed tasks, difficulty finishing homework, and then getting pulled away at the slightest distraction, right? The dog runs by and then they just, oh, hold on, I got it. He really wants me to play with him. You know, so they go off and do other things that they maybe prefer to do. This also can be a frustrating one for parents because we often find ourselves constantly being on them, right? Come on, you got to go. We've got to finish up. We got to finish our dinner. You got to finish your homework. So this one is definitely a tricky one and hard when kids are in school in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. It's so closely related to the next one that as you were going through it, I was like, oh, these kind of go hand in hand. I mean, it makes sense that, you know, kind of more, you know, talking more about task completion. The next one that we were going to talk about is task initiation. And, you know, I think that they really do go hand in hand. So we'll just kind of put them together. So with task initiation, I think this is kind of the starter, obviously, for completing the tasks. But with this one, essentially, it's the ability to motivate yourself, right? So to get started on those tasks and therefore being able to kind of direct your actions or your behaviors in that way. And so I think that, you know, the kind of what you had said, difficulty finishing homework, one thing that you might notice if your child has trouble in this area is maybe difficulty getting started with their homework, right? Or I hear all the time from parents, if I could just get them out the door to go to practice, they're fine when they get there, right? So there's a variety of things, right? But essentially kind of getting started on the things that they need to do can be really, really tricky for kids. And to take it just one step further, just one thing I want to mention, because I think it's really important to get curious with your kids and understand why they're not initiating certain tasks, right? Because there could be various reasons, but one of the ones that I hear about all the time is past failures, right? So if every time I start my homework, I fail, would I want to start my homework ever again, right? Or, you know, every time I show up for that soccer game, I fall down, right? Well, I don't want to go to that soccer game. So I think it's so important, and there's of course many other reasons why kids might fail to initiate tasks, right? Like they're not motivated or they got distracted, like you said. But I think it's really important to just kind of understand why they might be failing to get started on these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier, just, you know, assessing the barriers. Do they not have the skills to do it? Are they, was there a past experience? Yeah, this one's a tricky one. Might need to break down the skill into smaller steps. Okay, there, I'm doing it again. I feel like that character on SNL, I think it's played by Kristen Wiig, you know, where she keeps the surprise and she has to put her turtleneck over her head like, I want to say it. So,
We're getting silly.
All right, so moving on, we've got a couple more. We put these ones together because they are so closely related. Depending on where you read about executive functioning, they may be together, they may be separated. So talking about self-control and response inhibition, and then also emotional control too. So with response inhibition, that's where we might, that's kind of the more formal word for being able to kind of control your behaviors, kind of self-control, right? It's the ability to think before speaking. Resist temptation, think about kind of choices and consequences of our behavior before we act. As you may assume, this is arguably the most important of the executive functioning skills, especially for teenagers, right? When they're presented with a lot of risks and potentially risky behaviors, there's less supervision and things like that. So being able to kind of control ourselves is an important skill. And then when we think about in terms of segueing from behavior to kind of internal processes, right? So emotional control. So that's our ability to regulate our emotions, maybe select the emotion that's appropriate for any given situation that could kind of drive and guide our actions. And then being able to kind of manage and maintain emotions under pressure. So kind of staying cool, calm, and collected, not kind of just, you know, blowing up at the drop of a hat. So another really, really important kind of one, kind of mishmashed together.
Yeah. And, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, where this kind of pops up for teens, certainly in terms of just getting things done, or you said like risk-taking behavior. I also see this a lot with social relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So with young kids and then also teens, something that I hear about quite often is those that have trouble with self-control, it's interfering with them making connections with friends. And, you know, because kids are like, ah, he's too close, he's jumping on me, right? And they don't necessarily want that. And so I feel like this is a really, it's difficult if your child has trouble in this area, you know, in terms of that self-control.
That's so important too. I didn't think about that. I was thinking more of if there's a kid that's always blowing up when they lose at handball or something, eventually kids are going to say like, oh, I don't really want that person to play. They're just, it's kind of dramatic. But you're right. There's maybe like a lack of self-awareness around that physical, controlling your physical body, right? Like you want to just be close and hang on your friends. And some kids, my kids are very huggy, but my older daughter has a friend in particular, and she always tells me, oh, she does not want to be hugged, but now she allows me one hug per day. And I'm like, yeah, you got to respect her personal space. Right? They came up with some sort of like a compromise, I guess. But yeah, it's that's a good point that you bring up too, just like the physical, physical behaviors. Yeah,
totally. And your daughter has the self-awareness to recognize like this other peer doesn't like hugs, right? And I think that that's the point, right? Like some kids just don't have that and they don't notice it. And then it, you know, it interferes with their friendships.
Yeah. Well, I think this little girl had to tell Lily. It was now she respects the boundary.
Okay. Well, yeah, good for the other girl, right? Self-advocacy.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Well, speaking of things that could potentially interfere with friendships, the next one is flexible thinking. And this comes up a lot. And I feel like, again, you know, some of these things can be quite developmentally appropriate, right? So like just kind of some of the growing pains of growing, right? And so being able to kind of think differently, to solve problems and adjust to new situations, learning from mistakes, right? Some of those things are naturally hard. But kids learn them, right? And they get better at them. Some other things, maybe coping when the routine changes or even being worried about trying new things, switching from one task to another. So this is another area where we see that kids who struggle in this area are going to have difficulty with all the things I just listed. So I think that it's definitely important that we kind of call some of those specific skills out within flexible thinking so you can get a better understanding of, okay, is my child, you know, sometimes they're flexible, but sometimes they're not, or maybe they're not at all flexible. And this is one of the big areas that I need to focus on as a parent.
Yeah. This one's got a lot of stuff jam-packed into it. I didn't, you know, before I was looking more into executive functioning, I didn't realize that this was one of the things under that umbrella. But this is a big one that definitely comes up. So yeah.
Well, this one, what's interesting about flexible thinking is obviously for many years now, I have hosted the same webinar on executive functioning skills, and flexible thinking, I didn't even have in there for the first couple of years. And then I was, you know, doing more research, reading more books, and I was like, wow, flexible thinking is like one of the crucial pieces to executive functioning. And it, you know, it kind of, it's everything kind of all in one, and the ability to just kind of like cope and problem solve. And it's really tough. So I think this one's very important.
Did you put it in your presentation for next time?
Sure did.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I was going to say, you don't host the same when you host on the same topic, but it gets better and better every
year. It's different every year. Yeah. Yeah. No. We've got flexible thinking in there now. Yes, for sure.
Because you are flexible. You adapt.
You adapted my presentation.
Yes. Oh, okay. So we've got two more before we wrap it up. So talking about working memory, this is our ability to hold information in our minds while we're doing different tasks. Maybe they're more complex tasks. So this could be something like, let's say at work, listening to a conversation, then taking that information, maybe synthesizing it, putting it into some bullets and notes and sending it out to the group. It also involves drawing on our past experiences and learning to our experiences and our learning to kind of influence and drive behavior that comes in the future. So this is, you know, a quintessential example of that is learning some more fundamental school skills, things like, you know, reading or writing or math. And then as school typically goes, you build on those simpler concepts and continue onward. So working memory is definitely an important one for life. Well, they all are, right? But I'm thinking this one in particular for school too.
Mm-hmm. And this one actually is, I feel like, very, very important when parents want their kids to be more independent, right? So like, go get ready for bed or go get ready for school, right? And then we're relying, kids have to rely on their working memory. Like, well, what do I need to do, right? Like, what are all the steps that I need to do? And a lot of times parents are like, well, they did everything, but they just keep forgetting to brush their teeth or they keep forgetting to, you know, put socks on. Or I've actually had parents tell me like, my kid went to school without underwear today, you know, and it's just
we've done that in our family multiple times. I'm just like flabbergasted.
Like, how did that happen? Yeah. So I think that, you know, working memory, it presents itself in many different opportunities present itself multiple times a day to use our working memory. So, certainly a crucial one as well.
It's, that's a good parallel that you draw too, I think, to getting ready. My kids, they wear like a badge of honor that they have both, when they were in preschool, forgot to go to school with underwear. And I get phone calls and just like walking in embarrassingly. Like, oh, sorry. So, but that was a prompt to work on that a little bit more in our family.
Oh, one other thing I was just thinking about this too. So, we probably do this often. I'm sure you do as well as a mom, right? Like, what are all the things I have to know for my kids' school, right? So like, okay, this week is like gift shopping. And then we've got tomorrow's Grinch Day. And, you know, like we have all these things that we kind of store in our information or in our brains.
But mental load.
Like, yes. Yeah. And I think kids and teens have to do this too, right? Like, hey, don't forget to remind your parents that there's a field trip tomorrow or this week or, you know, so feel like that also is part of it, where they have to just kind of remember everything that's going on in their lives, or that birthday party is this weekend, and so it certainly comes up a lot.
That's a great point, and I think that's as kids get older, at least in our house, that's what I've been trying to do to kind of get some of the mental load off of me, is to put some more of that onto the kids. So I think I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, and it's certainly a big issue this time of year with all the different holidays and all that, you know, like present, you know, gift exchanges and things like that. I'll say, look, there are certain things I'm just not going to be managing anymore. I can't keep it all in my memory, can't keep it all in my brain, like the spirit days, right?
This
day you're going to wear whatever it is. Like, I just, you know, when they're in kindergarten, it was cute, oh, I gotta do it all, but there are certain things where it's like, okay, you need to, I'm gonna pass that on to you. You can hold it in your working memory for Friday. Remember to wear pigtails or something like that, because I just can't. I got to transfer that over to your frontal lobe.
And then if your kid can't do it, there's lots of strategies you can put in place.
Don't say it.
Yes, yes. Yes. Okay, well, we have just one more, actually. And this one is interesting. So I know you and I were kind of going through some of the literature, and we always find ourselves in the Smart But Scattered books. And so one thing that we were like, wow, metacognition and self-monitoring, we didn't necessarily have that in our conversation for today, but we added it in because it's really, really important. And so metacognition is essentially knowing what you're thinking, right? So knowing your thinking styles and so being able to know your strengths. And so I think that it's just so important to kind of to understand yourself a little bit better, like we said in the beginning. And then and then also important, the ability to have self-awareness of how you're doing in the moment, right? And then maybe make some adjustments of your actions or your behaviors to the current situation. An example I can think of just right off the top of my head is sometimes, you know, how people might say like, I'm sorry, I'm rambling, right? Like, and then they're recognizing I've been talking for a really long time and I didn't share the space, right? I didn't give anybody else the opportunity to talk. So that person might be, you know, engaging in self-monitoring. They're recognizing that they probably need to make a shift. So this is a really important skill.
Yes, I love that one. Yeah, I think that's one of the ones that's often missed. It's not as tangible, right? It's totally kind of in your mind. So,
right.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so good call out.
Gonna call that one out.
Yeah.
All right, so we're kind of winding down here. We got to give a, speaking of call outs or shout outs, we got to give a shout out to the people that we love. They don't know we exist, but if they ever contacted us one day, we would just be so elated. But Dr. Richard Guare, Dr. Peg Dawson, The Smart But Scattered books, a lot of the content that we draw from our podcast is certainly today's, comes from Smart But Scattered. So our top three books, The Smart But Scattered, there's Smart But Scattered Teens, which is literally right next to me on my desk. I got to return it to the library.
Ooh,
and then Smart But Scattered, The Guide to Success, which is for adults. Because like we said, you know, it takes until about age 25, but still there are challenges that can pervade through the lifespan. So definitely a lot of strategies packed in those books. And then, of course, we've done a ton of podcasts that you can find that dive really deeply into strategies. You know, as a recap, this was really just more informational on what is executive functioning and all the different areas under the umbrella.
Yeah, yeah. They also have a really good website, too. So when I was creating the presentation years back, which is always evolving, they have a lot of just like printable materials on there and just like articles and
assessments,
checklists.
Too.
Yeah, assessments. Yep. Mm-hmm. So they've got a lot of really good stuff on there. So definitely check them out. Another book that I recommend, and this is for a little bit younger of an audience, but it's called Learning to Slow Down and Pay Attention. It's by Ellen Dixon and Kathleen Naidu, perhaps? Naidu? Yeah, that's right.
How do you spell it?
Ooh, N-A-D-E-A-U.
Okay.
Naidu.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll write in and be like, hey, is this how you say it?
Yeah.
but great book. What I love about that book, and a lot of parents have told me this, is in the very beginning of the book, there's an assessment. So you can essentially go in and see where your child lands with all the skills that we talked about. And sometimes it's an eye-opener. You know, you might be like, oh, I didn't even know that they thought that they were weak in this area. I actually thought they were strong in this area, right? And then vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I feel like that could be really, really helpful too. So one more thing before we go. I know that we couldn't dive into all the strategies today. and I know we did a little bit. But definitely, if you're having concerns and you're kind of hearing some of the things that we talked about today, and maybe a lot of these areas are kind of popping up and you're like, ooh, I want to work on all of them at once, or, oh no, my child has, you know, challenges in many of these areas, I just urge you to start with one at a time, right? So we don't want to just change everything right away, or a lot of times I'll say, don't just try to implement 10 different strategies at once just to hope that we kind of, you know, get these skills going. I say just slow down, pick one area, let's explore that, let's observe your child, see, you know, where their deficits lie, and then we can build strategies from there.
Ooh, that is such a good reminder. Love that.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, everyone. Thanks for joining us on our 43rd episode of Behaviorally Speaking. On our next episode, we will be talking about creating harmony among different parenting styles. Until then, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode.
You've been listening to Behaviorally Speaking with Angela Nelson and Kristen Bondi, brought to you by Rethink Care. Find out more at rethinkcare.com. You can find past podcast episodes under the Resources tab. We also invite you to subscribe, follow, like, and leave us feedback wherever you listen to podcasts. Your feedback helps us prepare topics and content for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day.